In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. The Samaritans were a despised people by the Jews because they were a mixed race. They came from, in part, the already unfaithful Israelites to the north who had mixed paganism with their Israelite faith. But then the same Assyrians that had deported most of the people of the northern kingdom to other parts of their empire deported people from other parts of the empire to their land. And so you had these outside pagans that came in and mixed with these people and further corrupted their faith. They corrupted the scriptures, they corrupted their beliefs, and they were heretics. They were, you could say, spiritual adulterers. The Samaritan woman was a woman whom even the Samaritans despised because she had a past that was more than just a little bit checkered, which is why she was coming to draw water at noon. Usually, and you know, if you do any outside work in the summertime in Houston, you try to do that early in the morning, or you do it later in the day when it's starting to get a little bit cooler, but you certainly don't do it in the middle of the day when it's really, really hot. Well, most of the women would go to draw water early in the morning. She was drawing water in the middle of the day because she didn't want to bump into all those other women who were going to be sneering at her and letting it be known that they thought that she was a bad woman. Christ asked her to go fetch her husband, but she said, "I don't have a husband." So Christ said, "Yeah, you said right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the guy that you're with right now is not your husband. So you spoke truly there." So Christ let her know that he knew exactly what her past was, and it was not a good one. We're not told exactly what led her to live such a life, but most of the people would have written her off as being beyond redemption. And most of the Jews felt the same way about the Samaritans in general. There was no hope for them. They wouldn't even bother trying to argue with them about the faith. The best thing that they could do would be to avoid them as much as possible. But it's interesting that in the Gospels, you see over and over again how Christ reached out to Samaritans, and the Samaritans are painted in a pretty good light in the Gospels, but you have to understand that even though the Pharisees come off looking bad in the Gospels and the Samaritans come off looking good, that's not the way the people of Christ's time would have seen it. They would have seen it as just the opposite. But Christ frequently reached out to those who others had written off, people who were sinners, people who were tax collectors. But he also didn't ignore the fact that they were sinners. And also in this case, he not only didn't ignore the fact that this woman was a sinner and had been living a sinful life, he didn't ignore the fact that their religion was false. We're told later on, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," because they were right on in the valley between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and Mount Gerizim was where they worshipped. "And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." So what Christ was saying was there's going to be a time when we're not going to exclusively worship in one place or the other. But he also said, you are worshiping something that you don't really understand because you have false beliefs mixed in with your true beliefs. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So the Jews were the ones that were holding to the true faith. He didn't say her faith was okay. He didn't say that her sins were okay. If you listen to the way that people talk about Christ in our popular culture, you would think that Christ went around with flowers and handed them out to people, and he never said anything negative to anybody. You think about the woman that was caught in adultery. Was Christ loving to her? Certainly he was. But what did he say to her? He said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't say, "Go ahead, it's a sin no more," which is what our culture would say. "Don't worry about it. Go and sin no more." He called unbelievers and heretics both to the true faith and to live a life of righteousness and to turn from their sins. God is not looking for perfect people or even for good people. He is looking for people who will turn from their error and turn from their sins, who will allow the grace of the Holy Spirit to make them the kind of people that God wants us to be. So Christ says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. God is seeking you to worship him in spirit and truth. He is our God and we are his creation. And as such, we're only going to find peace and joy and happiness when we're in a right relationship with him. And that is only going to happen when we conform ourselves to his truth and his righteousness, because his truth and righteousness can't be conformed to our error and to our sin. And that's where the big mistake comes. We think that being loving is just affirming people where they are. But that's not what you find in the Gospels. The Babylon Bee this week, they had a really good article, and it had a meme where a boy had a gun that was taken away from him, and the caption said, a boy questions whether his parents could possibly be truly good and loving if they're taking away a gun that he was having so much fun playing with. You know, and that's we think that the things that we want to do are all good and we're enjoying them, but God the Father is like our own parents, that if we were a kid playing with a gun, they wouldn't say, oh, isn't that cute, or I don't want to make him mad by taking away the gun from him. They would take that gun away from that child, and they would probably give him a good smack to make sure that he knew that he wasn't supposed to do that. God is truly loving. He doesn't have the kind of love that this world has, where we'll love people while we watch them go to hell, while we watch them destroy their lives. That's not the love of God. We have to realize that God is the source of our life, and he's the only way that we can find true meaning and happiness, and that's by us living our lives in accordance with his will and doing what he says and understanding that what he wants for us is for our good, because he truly does love us. Amen.